This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Patrick O'Donnell. His book, The Indispensables, the story of the Marbleheaders through the Revolutionary War, also a civil war. And it is now 1775. We go to the very famous Bunker Hill, which is also Breed's Hill, in Charlestown, outside of Boston Harbor. And what's critical here is not that the Patriots will be overrun by the attacking British redcoats. What's critical is the Marbleheaders' participation and their opinion of their fight that day. Patrick, again and again, I'm reminded that the revolution was about gunpowder. You've made it very clear that you can have all these intentions to live free, but if you can't shoot back, they're going to come to nothing. The gunpowder at Bunker Hill, was that provided by the Committee of Supply and Safety? Was that Marbleheader gunpowder?
Yes, it was. In fact, that was the crucial supply. There wasn't enough, and they were able to repel charge after charge of British charge after charge on the hill, and then the powder ran out. And it's Samuel Trevitt has a – this is sort of the untold story that's the revealed really for the first time.
Trevitt's a Marbleheader and one of the leaders of the militia. Go ahead, Francis.
He has a company of cannon, several cannon that are on Bunker Hill, and he's fighting back. They're using canister. They're firing everything that they possibly can into the British ranks, and they're repelling them. And it's Samuel Trevitt's cannon. It's some of the only cannon that are actually participating. There are others that are there, but they withdraw. They fear for their lives because the British are coming with pretty much everything they have, and they fight back very, very significantly there. And it's very interesting. It's Trevitt that repels charge after charge, but Trevitt at the end of the battle is mistaken for another man that had withdrawn, and he's court-martialed. And that's a massive insult for somebody that's really one of the true heroes of Bunker Hill. And he leaves the service after that. But several of the other men that are in the company stay on, and they continue to battle.
This is before the Continental Army. This is before. These are a militia who are all volunteers, all of them. And there's a sense of order that is distributed. There's no one particular commander. Washington doesn't arrive for another month. This is June of 1775. Dr. Warren is killed that day. He's actually executed by a British soldier. Who was he?
Dr. Warren, the book is about several key doctors of the American Revolution. They're friends. Dr. Warren is the president of the Massachusetts Provincial Congress, and Dr. Warren is a true hero of the Revolution. That day, the Congress promotes him to general, but Warren comes in with his musket and volunteers to be a private in battles on Bunker Hill and is killed there. The book is about his friendship also with Dr. Nathaniel Bond, who I mentioned earlier, who's a virus specialist, and another doctor, Dr. Benjamin Church.
Oh, we have two stories to tell now, Patrick. The little bird has come down in our studio. We must tell these stories. First of all of this is taking place in the middle of a pandemic, the smallpox pandemic, which has come to Massachusetts. How do they fight it, Patrick? What is their awareness of the pandemic?
It's the Patriots in the town of Marblehead. Well, ships from fishing ships from Marblehead bring back the virus to Marblehead in 1773-74, and it ravages the town. It devastates the town. Initially, they try to quarantine. They create something called pest houses. They fly a black flag. They even execute dogs, anything to try to quarantine or isolate it. That doesn't really work. Dr. Bond comes to the scene and promotes inoculation. And inoculation in the 18th century is dangerous. It's like Russian roulette. It's taking a knife and lancing a portion of your shoulder and putting a small portion of the virus in the body with the hope that you'll have a small light version of the virus that will create the antibodies that you need to defend it off a full blown version. For the most part, inoculation works. The Patriots come up with a plan to have an inoculation hospital, and they build it in a place called Cat Island. It's a remote island, and they build a hospital for £2,000, an enormous amount of money at the time. But the virus is politicized. The camps within the town, the town's divided by loyalists and patriots, and the loyalists encourage and support a mob of men in the dead of night that row over to Cat Island with torches and tar in hand, and they torch that, the entire hospital with people inside it. It's a miracle that nobody was killed. There are women and children in there. The Patriots know who these people were that did that, and they go to the sheriff. The sheriff arrests the individuals, but the loyalists in the town organize a massive mob of well over 1,000 people, and they storm the jail with axes and crowbars, and they free the men. And then what happens next is the homes of the Patriots that funded the hospital are surrounded by an angry mob. It's here we really sort of see the steel of John Glover. He knows that they're coming. He takes a 6-pound cannon from one of his ships, and he wheels it into the foyer of his home, and he waits. And as soon as the mob shows up on his front lawn, he orders the doors thrust open, and he has a lighted torch in hand next to the touch hole of the cannon, and orders them to disperse, which they do.
That's one story, the physicians. We have the physician, Joseph Warren, who's a leader of the Massachusetts Provincial Congress, who dies on Bunker Hill. And it's important detail here that he was shot in the face by a British officer at close range, according to Patrick's reporting. That is not entirely a killed in action. That is an execution of a leader. An assassination is what we'd call it in the 21st century. Patrick's told the story of Dr. Bond, who will become the man who rescues the Continental Army with his same skill set some years on. But now the story of Benjamin Church. And Patrick, I confess, being one of those readers who is oddly attracted to the rascal. Who is Church?
Church is extraordinary and exceptional. A Renaissance man, if you will, a man that can write poetry and songs. He's a medical doctor, considered the best in his field. And to everybody present, he's an ardent patriot. But in reality, he's a man that's greedy, has a lot of debts to pay, and he's still loyal to the crown. And he sits on all of the major committees of the Massachusetts provincial government. He's a key leader that writes many things. He's influential. He's a decision maker, but he's also General Gage's greatest spy. And he is funneling he's in the Patriot Nerve Center, basically funneling all the most crucial intelligence directly to General Gage. General Gage knows exactly where all of the munitions are stored. He knows exactly what the Patriots are up to, because Dr. Benjamin Church is informing General Gage of every movement of the Patriots.
Church is everywhere and never really found out profoundly. Suspect, but never really found out profoundly.
No.
He's a rascal. He's a gambler. He's a ladies' man. He's a drinker. But he's, as Patrick presents him, colorful. You can't help but watch him when he enters the scene. He steals it.
He has many... many mistresses, including one in Marblehead. And, he's a ladies' man. He's very charming. And he communicates to General Gage in cipher code. During the Battle of Lexington and Concord, he pretends to battle. He even sprinkles a little blood on his stockings and has, an incredible story for everything, basically. And people believe him.
The significance here is that, to me, Patrick, as a reader, is that Church makes it clear this is a civil war. Because from the point of view of the crown, Church is a patriot and an honest man who endorses the empire and is assisting at great risk to himself of being found out from the point of view of London. And that means that this isn't all about ideology. It's about who is an Englishman and who is an Englishman, back and forth. One more detail about Bunker Hill. They retreat from Bunker Hill. Do the Marbleheaders think it's a defeat?
yeah, they initially do consider it a defeat because, you know, Samuel Trevitt, they look for scapegoats, and Samuel Trevitt is the one of the men that they go after, for the loss, even though he was one of the great, one of the few Americans, not few, but one of the few Americans that had a cannon that battled, at least. You know, the reality is it was a Pyrrhic victory for the British Empire because they sustained massive casualties, with the frontal assaults on, you know, going up Bunker Hill.
The icon is about to arrive on the battlefield. The book is The Indispensables. The diverse soldier mariners who shaped the country, formed the Navy, and rode Washington across the Delaware. Marblehead, Massachusetts is what we're talking about. And when we come back, Marblehead meets Washington. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.